Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot. My husband and I have had a succession of seminary students living in our home. We have a student room with a private bath at the back of the house, and it's very nice for us because we travel so much to have somebody who's there most of the time and somebody who can help with things like cleaning and mowing the lawn and shoveling snow and washing cars and putting labels on tapes and helping us with mailings and all sorts of things. Well, we always give them a long list typed out on the day that they come to apply for the place, because we don't charge them rent for the room. It's just X number of hours per week of work that they are to give us. And so we've spelled out very clearly what the work is to be. And we always make sure that they understand that we're asking them to be a servant. We've had graduate students. We've had a man with a master's degree from MIT. And when he came, I said, "You have a master's degree from MIT?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "And you realize that we're asking you to be a servant?" And he said, "Yes." But I remember one of the young men, he was very cheerful and very willing to help and do whatever we wanted him to do. But again and again, I would have to point out something that had remained undone. "Oh, well, yeah. Well, you know, I guess I didn't do that." "Well, it was on the list, wasn't it?" "Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the trouble with me, Mrs. Gren, is I'm not a detail man," he said. Well, of course, the job is details. Jesus says in Luke 16:10, "The man who is faithful in the little things will be faithful in the big things. And the man who cheats in the little things will cheat in the big things too." So if you're not fit to be trusted to deal with the wicked wealth of this world, who will trust you with the true riches? And if you are not trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. He's bound to hate the one and love the other, or give his loyalty to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and the power of money at the same time. I think of Mrs. DuBose in the school that I attended in Florida. She spoke every evening in what was called Vespers, and she would sock it to us on a very, very practical, down-to-earth note. She would give us scriptures, and then she would talk about very practical things. And one of her favorite sayings was, "Don't go around with a Bible under your arm if you didn't sweep under the bed." She wanted no pious talk coming out of a messy room. How much do the little things in life really matter to you? During the past couple of weeks, I've been talking about training children. And surely one of the most important things to train children is to be faithful in little things. You start by teaching them little things, don't you? And the little things are the foundation, the little stones in the foundation that may make the difference as to whether the house will crumble or not. In Matthew 5:48, we read, "Be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Is that a standard that any of us can live up to? Well, certainly not. Not without the help of God. And even with the help of God, we do continue to fail. But that is the standard. That is the standard, perfection. I've been accused of being a perfectionist, and I confess the truth of the charge. I cannot imagine wanting anything to be less than perfect. I do want everything to be perfect. And of course, I know that it's not going to be. And I hope that God has tempered my temperament, at least in some degree along these lines, in that I hope I'm not expecting perfection all the time in everybody else, but I do aim at perfection. It seems to me that that is what the Scripture means when it says, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And then an old writer says this, perfection in outward conduct consists not in extraordinary things, but in doing common things extraordinarily well. And I'll put in a parenthesis here. I can remember my aunt, Anne, saying to me, learn to do thoroughly anything you do. If you're going to sweep a room, really sweep it. Sweep the corners, sweep the edges. If you're going to beat an egg, beat it hard. And I think of Anne every time I beat an egg by hand. I do occasionally use a hand egg beater still. And when I sweep a room, I sweep it as perfectly as possible. I get into the corners. I just cannot imagine how people can stand to sweep around in circles and leave piles of dust here and there. It just doesn't go. Well, back to the ancient writer. You've heard enough of Elizabeth Elliot sounding off. Neglect nothing, she says. The most trivial action may be performed to ourselves or performed to God. If love be in your heart, your whole life may be one continual exercise of it. Oh, if we did but love others! How easily the least thing, the shutting of a door gently, the walking softly, speaking low, not making a noise, or the choice of a seat so as to leave the most convenient seat to others, might become occasions of the exercise of love. Aren't these little practical things that she mentions very applicable in the training of the children in your home? Shutting a door quietly. I couldn't tell you how many times we children were made to go back and open the door and shut it quietly. We would race out the front door and slam the screen door. We had a wide front door, and the screen door had a strong spring on it. And neither of my parents would tolerate the slamming of that screen door. And so as we had raced out to play, having just been called by a friend to come out, slam went the screen door. Immediately thereafter, we would hear the voice of either our mother or our father calling us, come back and try that again. We had to come back in the house and go out quietly and close the door quietly. Walking softly. We had one lodger in our house, and I mean that house shook as though there was an earthquake when he thundered through there. It was unbelievable. We never could understand how he could make so much noise. He wasn't really a very big man. But obviously nobody had ever taught him to walk softly. Speak low. It's soothing to hear a low voice rather than a high one or a harsh one. And I've noticed that there is a habit of the younger generation, especially the girls, to speak in a high little voice like this. I'm very conscious of it when I'm on airplanes and the stewardess has a high voice. Try not to speak in a high voice. It can be more irritating. Speaking low, not making a noise, or the choice of a seat so as to leave the seat most convenient for others. These might be occasions of the exercise of love. And then another ancient writer. He is wont to carry on his hidden dealings with the soul by means of what we should call very little things. He requires an absolute purity of heart in those with whom he vouchsafes to dwell, and a spirit of self-sacrifice which is ever ready to offer all things, however seemingly small, to him. We need to have love in our hearts. First, to God, wanting to make each task an offering to him. The sweeping of a floor, the beating of an egg, the making of a bed. For whom do you do your ordinary work? How much are you appreciated and thanked for it? Does that matter? You who work in offices or schoolrooms, you who work for money anywhere, maybe you're a waitress, maybe you're a secretary, a nurse, a lawyer, a doctor. How often are you appreciated and thanked for your work? And if you're not, Does it matter very much? Does it ruin your day? Or can you simply offer the work to God and say, Lord, it's for you? And you know that someday you'll have your reward. If you don't get thanks from people, you can know that if you've done the job for the Lord, someday you will receive your reward. Do it perfectly for God. Do it as well as you can for God. And you know that little poem that I've recited before, if a task is once begun, never leave it till it's done, be the labor great or small, do it well or not at all. Make your whole life a living sacrifice. If you were expecting Jesus to appear at your desk or your workbench or your kitchen sink or your garage, what about the little ways of loving him? How would you want to be doing your work if he came along? Ask yourself today what most irritates the people that you work with, live with, and love. Are you willing to offer, for their sakes, this tiny sacrifice?
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.